Okay, good morning. So we are up to Perek Chaf Beis, chapter 22. And just, we're in the middle. We actually reached Pasuk Tes Zayin. We reached verse 16. But just to remind ourselves what's going on, so David has kind of gathered a bit of a militia. He has some followers now. And Shaul reacts to this by saying, you know, how did all this happen? Did somebody, you know, did one of you know something and you didn't tell me? And Doeg steps up and says, well, actually, David paid a visit to Nov, the city of the Kohanim, and Achimelech, the Kohen, helped David by asking the Urim and Thummim questions on his behalf, and by providing him food, and by providing him with the sword, Goliath's sword. And so Doeg basically throws Achimelech under the bus, and speaks Lashon Hara about him, Refilus, and it's not even true exactly the way that he presents it. And now in Pasuk Tezayin, in verse 16, Shaul says to Achimelech, you know, after Achimelech attempts to defend himself, he tells him, Mos tamos Achimelech ata v'chol beis avicha. You know, Achimelech, you'll have to die, you and your father's household. So that's where we pick up. So Pasuk Yod Zayin, verse 17, it says, Vayomer Hamelech Laratzim Hanitzavim Olav. And the king said to the runners who were standing by him, Sobu Vihamisu Kohane Hashem. You should gather, go around, and kill the Kohanim of Hashem. Kigam Yadam im David, because their hand is with David. They are part of the rebellion. The Chiyadu Kivareachu, they knew that he was running away. And the Logalu es Azni, and they didn't reveal it to my ear. So Shaul tells the people, tells his guards, right? You ever seen the Kim Jong Un from North Korea? So he has guards who run around his car, not, you know, to protect him. They mamash run with the car. So that's the Ratzim. The Ratzim are those who run around the chariot of the king to protect the king. What?
Not going that
fit. I think they also run quite fast, but yeah. And then there's also Nitzavim Olav, so there's those who stand by him. These are his guards, and you know, his closest. And what's their reaction? They'll go, Avu Avdi HaMelech Lishlach Es Yadam Lifka B'Kohanei Hashem. And the servants of the king were not willing to listen, they were not willing to send forth their hands to strike against the Kohanim of Hashem. So they refused. Who were these guards? Who are these people that it's talking about? So Rashi tells us it was Avner v'Amasa hayu. Avner and Amasa. The Avner was the general. Amasa, I think maybe was his brother, although I don't remember for sure. And they refused. Why did they refuse? The king told them to do something. Why did they refuse? So Rashi tells us that even though in Yoshua it says Kol Ish Asher Yamres Picha, anybody who rebels against you, I think it says, you know, should die. Basically, you have to listen to the king. You have to listen to the Melech. But they said that They had a drasha. It says rak over there. It says accept. I don't have the pasuk in front of me, the whole pasuk, but they had a drasha. They learned out that it excludes if the king tells you to do an avera, something that's forbidden. So it's true that normally you have to listen to whatever the king says, but if the king tells you to do an avera, then you're not required to listen.
Similar to a parent?
Not following orders is not a taina.
What?
You're just following orders is not a taina.
Right, right. I mean, there's another way that this is sometimes said. It's divrei harav, divrei ha-talmid, divrei mi shomim. If you have something that the master says, the rav, and something the student says, so who do you listen to? So if you have Hashem says one thing and Shaul HaMelech says another thing, who do you listen to? You listen to Hashem, obviously. So I'm not sure why we need an additional limud. You have to learn it out from somewhere else, but that's the idea. Yeah.
So a concept by your parent?
Yep. Yep. That by kibud av v'em, you don't have to listen if it's something that's awesome.
But between the king and the high priest, is it still the king that takes precedence?
It's a good question. I think it depends. But
the K-State, they thought that it was the favor. So that is between the king and Hashem.
Right.
Hashem wins.
Right. He's just saying maybe anyways, you know, you have it doesn't say anywhere that Achimelech was the high priest, although I kind of have assumed that he was, because he had the Urim Metumim. So it's the high priest's word against the king. Okay. Pasuk Yudches, verse 18. Vayomer Hamelech LeDoeg, or LeDoeg. It's written Doeg, but it's read as Doeg still. That's his name. And the king said to Doeg, Sovata Ufgabakonim. Okay, they won't do it. So you go and strike at the Kohanim. Vayisov Doeg HaDomi, and Doeg went. Vayifkahu Bakohanim, and he struck at the Kohanim. Vayames Bayomahu Shmonim Vachamisha Ish Nose Ephodbad. And he struck on that day 85 men who were wearing the linen ephod. So that's a description of the Kohanim. They had this ephod bad, they had this ephod. Even though this isn't part of the normal description of a Kohen's dress, Kohen Gadol having an ephod, but a regular Kohen didn't have an ephod, but the Mefarshim say that each of them, these Kohanim had, it was an honorable vestment, and it's not necessarily one of the, it's not one of their their priestly vestments, but they represented, it was a position of honor. But in any event, so the other servants of Shaul refuse, but Doeg goes ahead and Doeg attacks the Kohanim, and he kills 85 Kohanim on that day. And Pasuk Yates, verse 19, Ve'eis Nov Ira Kohanim Hiko Lefichareb, and Nov, the city of the Kohanim, he struck by sword, Me'ish Ve'ad Isha, from man to woman, Me'oel Ve'ad Yonek, from the young child to the nursing child, Vishar Vachamor Vaseh Lefichareb, the oxen, the donkeys, and the sheep all were stricken by sword. So this is very serious, obviously. He doesn't just kill Achimelech, he kills 85 Kohanim, and then he goes ahead and he wipes out the whole city. Now, it's not clear if he did this all himself. It's hard to imagine that he did. The pasuk definitely sounds like he did. But that's what it sounds like. But either way, he went and whether it was by himself, whether it was with someone else, with other people, he went and he struck the whole city. Now, why did he do this? Why did he do this? Meaning, there's a lot of questions here, but let's first tackle, why did he attack the whole city? Why did he kill everyone? Why did he kill all the animals? So, So the Mishpat Sosav suggests that he was treating it like an Ir Hanidachas. An Ir Hanidachas is a city where there's a majority of people worshipping Avodah Zarah, worshipping idols, the whole city gets destroyed, everything inside gets destroyed. And the Rambam in Mora Nevuchim has a language where he says that the death of an Ir Hanidachas, he describes it, it's a Misas Kofrim. It's a Misa, it's a death of those who deny Hashem's existence. It's not like a death, he says it's not Misas Onish, it's not a punishment, it's a Misas Kofrim, whatever that means exactly. But he goes on and he says that the same is true, V'cheinani Omer, says the Rambam, V'edom Yisrael. If there's a congregation amongst Israel, Shezadu Laver al Eze Misa Shetia, that they all went and purposely transgressed some kind of thing that gets the death penalty. The Asu Asabiyad Rama, and they did it with a raised hand. Sheyehargu Kulam, they all get killed. And he brings a proof from the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven. In the case of the by the story of the Pelegish Begiva, where they were attacked by, I think that's what this is referring to. Sorry, one second.
So I want to go through a.
Actually, I'm not sure what the Rambam's referring to in that case. But in any event, that's what the Rambam says, that there are certain situations where an Eda, where a congregation, will get the same din, the same sentence as an Ir Hanidachas. And the Mishpat Sosav wants to suggest that that's what was being applied over here. When they killed the entire city of the Kohanim, they felt that they were a rebellious city. It's a rebellious city, they're rebelling against the king, and so the whole city gets destroyed like an Ir Hanidachas, and not just the people, but everything has to be destroyed. Okay, so we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to who did it. Right. So we'll get to it. Yeah, we're getting there. So okay, now okay. Now, Doeg is obviously, you know, not at this point the best of characters. Doeg, now first he spoke Lashon Hara about the city, and now he's went ahead and killed all these people. So we pointed out before in Pasuk Yud Ches, and in, you know, a couple times there, that there's a kriuk siv. It says Vayomer Melech Doeg, but it's spelled as Doeg. So Rashi there says Nishtane Shmo. His name was changed. He called him something else. Why? Because Amar Lo Nitfasta Kedag. You are caught like a fish. Ata Hilshanta Aleim, Ata Harogosam. Shaul told Doeg, you're the one who spoke Lashon Hara about them. So you're the one who should take responsibility for killing them. That's what Rashi brings down. This is based on Yerushalmi. The Bavli has a different interpretation of this Kriyuksid. The Bavli also talks about this, and it says, why does it change his name from Doeg to Doeg? So says the Gemara, in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuvav, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'tchila yasham HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'doeg Shema yetzeh l'tarbus ra. Because it's hinting to an idea that Hashem was worried about doeg. That's what the word doeg means. Doeg means to worry. Hashem was worried about Doeg. Maybe he's going to go out to Tarbusra. He's going to end up doing terrible things. And you know what happened? He did. He did go and do terrible things. And what? And so afterwards, Omar vai sheyatzazeh. He said, Oive. Hashem says, Oive, vai, that this happened. And in the words Doeg, in the name Doeg, you have the middle letters spell vai. And that's what was being expressed. That's what the Gemara says was being expressed by the Gemara, by the Pasuk, spelling his name as Doeg. It was Hashem expressing his disappointment in what happened with Doeg. Now, what's this idea that Hashem is worried? Shema Yeti Latar Busra. So the Marsha says the idea is that when people suffer, Hashem suffers. Kavayachal, whatever that means, but the Shechina is mitztayer on the destruction of Rishayim, and if Doeg is going to have to be destroyed, have to be punished, so Hashem is mitztayer on that. Hashem suffers because of that, and that's why Hashem says vai. Hashem says oyvei about this happening. Now the Gemara goes on, and the Gemara says that it quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk is in Tehillim Nun Beis. The pasuk says, "Matisalel bira'a hagibor chesed kel kol ayom," which literally means that how could the strong one be mishalel, be exalted, how could he give respect to Ra, to evil, and when there's chesed kel kol ayom, when he has the chesed of Hashem all day. That's what the pasuk means literally. So the Gemara interprets it, it says Hashem was telling Doeg, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Doeg, lo gibor batorah ata, aren't you strong in Torah? We've mentioned before he was Abir HaRoim. The Doeg was the head of the Sanhedrin. He was a big Talmud Chacham. And look what happened. He was a Gibor. He was strong in Torah. And Hashem says, aren't you strong in Torah? Matis Halabara, how come you're getting involved in evil? In Lashon Hara? In murder? How could you get involved in this? Lo chesed kel natu yalecha kol ayom. The end of the Pasuk, chesed kel kol ayom. There's Hashem's chesed is on you all day. Don't you have Hashem's chesed on you? Meaning what? So the Yom Yaakov here explains that a person who learns Torah lishma, so the Torah is matzil minachit. The Torah protects us from averus if we're learning Torah lishma. So that's the chesed. That's the honor. That's the chesed of Hashem that could be on a person who's learning Torah. So Hashem says to Doeg, aren't you a gibor in Torah? Aren't you strong in Torah? Aren't you the head of the Sanhedrin? The head of the Beis Din? How could you be involved in evil acts? Isn't the chesed of Hashem upon you? Isn't my chesed on you for learning Torah lishma? You have protection? But the answer is, the Gemara is going to say later, that Doeg didn't learn Torah lishma. He didn't learn it for the right purposes. Doeg, the Gemara says, in a little bit, it says, the Pasuk says, Vatisa brisi ale picha. In Parak Nun of Tehillim, it says, and you carried my bris on your lips. The Pasuk says, you carried the bris, the covenant of Torah, on your lips. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Ami, Ein Torasto Shel Doeg Ela Misafa Vilachutz. The Torah of Doeg was only from the lips and outwards. He didn't learn Lishma, it didn't enter his heart, it didn't change him. Doeg was a big Talmud Chacham, he knew a lot of Torah, but he didn't internalize it. It was all just on the outside. It didn't change him. It was misafa v'lachutz. It was from the lips and outside. That's why the pasuk says, and you carried the covenant, my covenant, on your mouth. It was on your mouth. You could speak, you know, you could say great divrei Torah, but it didn't enter you. It didn't enter your heart. It didn't change you.
Makes it good.
Yeah.
But I guess, I think that's only, like you said, it's only if you do it with Shmuel. You have your focus is on doing it with Shmuel. If you focus on not doing it with Shmuel,
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what he's saying. He's saying
he says over here, and he brings down a Kuma, that the Talmidim kicked him out, the Regarshim, and he lost all his Torah.
Yeah, the Gemara later, I think, about that. So Kula, I think, is the more general term.
Kula means a leading beast. Kula can
mean... At least part of that, that he lost all his Torah.
They didn't dun him for anything. He did, I guess. He didn't get any punishment.
There's another Gemara. I don't think we're going to do it today, but David says, Takar Baruch Hu, Yamus, Ron Shalom, Yamus Doeg. Yeah. So we're not going to work on that today, but maybe in a later week. Now, the Gemara does go... So far we have... that Doeg didn't learn Torah Lishma, and Hashem kind of turns to him and he says, you know, how can you do these things? I thought, you know, you're Gibor, you're strong in Torah, but the answer is that he wasn't, that the chesed of Hashem didn't enter him because he didn't learn Torah Lishma. Now the Gemara goes on, and it says, my dechsev, what does the pasuk mean? The pasuk says also in Tehillim, it says in Perek Nun, Vilarasha Amar Elokim, to the Rasha Hashem says, Malicha Lesaper Chukai, why do you need to count my chukim, my mitzvos, or to tell over them? Lesaper could be either to like sipur, to tell over like a story, or Lesaper could be like to count. Why do you need to count my mitzvos? So the Gemara says, what's that pasuk saying? Amar la Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Doeg HaRasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Doeg, Malicha l'saper chukai, why do you need to count my mitzvos? Kishata magia l'parshas meratzim, parshas mesaper l'ashen hara, mata dorish b'hem. You know, you're a big Rebbe, right? But what are you telling over my mitzvahs? What are you going to say when you get to the mitzvah of Lashon Hara? You're going to get up in the base medrash and you're going to darshan about Lashon Hara when you yourself speak Lashon Hara? What are you going to say when you get up to the parsha of Rotzeach, of murder? You're a murderer. What are you going to say? That's what the Gemara says. The Marsha says that later the Gemara is going to say that Doeg would teach 300 halachos. And he says, certainly he would teach also all the 613 mitzvos. He would count them. And the Gemara is saying, what's the point of counting the mitzvos? Because you're not going to get to 613 because you're missing two. You're missing Lashon Hara and you're missing Ritzicha, murder. The Yom Yaakov here has a different idea. The Yom Yaakov says, he says, Lashon Hara and murder are what he calls mitzvos muskalos. They're logical. Now, it's interesting that he says that because in the world today, certainly murder is something, you know, in most societies is accepted as obvious and logical. Lashon Hara is a different story. Lashon Hara... I don't think it's a mitzvah, you know, I don't think the world considers it an obvious thing that you shouldn't speak Lashon Hara.
It's considered a mitzvah.
Right, it's a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara, right? To say whatever you can about other people. But the Yom Yaakov says that that's mitzvos muskalos. And so we have mitzvos, some mitzvos are logical, they're obvious. And then you have mitzvos that we call chukim. Chukim are mitzvos that we don't know the explanation for, necessarily. Right, they're not necessarily logical. So, or they're more ritual sometimes. So Hashem's telling him, the pasuk in Tehillim is, Malicha l'saper chukai. why do you need to teach my chukim if you, Doeg, can't even follow the logical mitzvahs like Lashon Hara and murder, then certainly you're not going to follow the chukim. Right? The ones that are not logical, obviously. Right? A koshikim. That's what Hashem was telling Doeg. In any event, so we'll maybe come back to this Gemara. There's a long, long Gemara here in Sanhedrin talking about Doeg. But just to frame it a little bit, you know, this is someone who is in a little bit of trouble. You know, he's.
What about the link into the Edomite? The seventh of Esau.
Yeah. Why, that he's a Domi?
Yeah.
So there doesn't seem to be much of a connection. The Mefarshim say, the commentaries say that he wasn't an Edomite. He's called the Edomite because he grew up in Edom. But he was Jewish. That's what the commentaries say.
So the blood he spilled, did he have the name before?
What?
So the blood he spilled.
Yeah, that's all. That's not saying that he was named that after, but maybe that was the Ruach HaKodesh as part of his name. Just one more point about this: what the Gemara says about his name. So I saw that. This I was saving for you. So the Gemara said that the reason why it changed his name in the Pasuk from Doeg to Doeg was because Doeg means worry, and Hashem was worried maybe he'll be Yotzei L'Tav Rasura, maybe this guy's going to go bad. And afterwards, when he did, so it changes to Doeg, because in the middle of the word Doeg is the word Vai, and Hashem says Oive, that he went off and he committed these sins. Now the Kilos Yaakov wonders, of all people, why was Hashem worried about Doeg specifically, that he would be Yotzei L'Tav Rasura, that he would go bad? Why was Hashem worried about, you know, you could say that about anyone. Right, Hashem worries about Shaps, that he'll go into Tarbusra, he'll go on and, you know, and do terrible. Why specifically Doeg? Chas v'shalom. Why specifically Doeg? So the Kilos Yaakov says that the Golel R, which I guess is some kind of Kabbalistic sefer, tells us that Doeg and Achitofel is going to be kind of a similar character to Doeg. He's going to be a very big Talmud Chacham, who's going to get into some trouble in the times of David HaMelech. So Doeg and Achitofel were the Neshamos. They had the souls of Dasan and Aviram. Dasan and Aviram, right, famously, the big troublemakers in the desert in Mitzrayim. And he says Dasan was Doeg. Dalid, Dalid, right? Dasan was Doeg. And Aviram was Achitofel. Aviram came back as his neshama came back in Achitofel. He says that since this neshama was the neshama of an Avarian, of someone who did Averis, like Dasan and Aviram, and that's why he had to come back, and that's why he had to be tested again. He had to make up for it. So that's why Hashem was worried about this neshama. This is the neshama of Dasan. And
he blew it again.
And he blew it again, right?
But this rejects the view that Dasan continued to live, you know, down in purgatory. You know, and,
yeah, I don't yeah. know. Yeah, I don't think.
I mean, he must have expired at some point after he fell down in the hole.
It gets complicated. It's like Ibn Neshama, it could be part of his Neshama.
He left some of it down in purgatory, so it came up.
Yeah, so that's what they bring down over here. So, anyways, okay.
Is the city that they're talking about one of the Levite cities that contained a lot of Kohanim?
No, this was the place of the Mishkan. This was...
Okay.
Right, now there may be other Kohanim elsewhere, but this was the city of the Mishkan. There were many Kohanim there. This was a great tragedy. Now, the one of the major results that we're going to see from this event comes up in Shmuel Beis, in I think it's Parak Kaf Aleph.
century.
Yeah.
He acknowledges that people in his time above everything was best in the summer, paper is indicated. Anything without congested bugs.
Yeah, so in chapter 21, Perek Chaf Aleph of Shmuel Beis, there's going to be a famine. In the, now, David is now king. David is king, and there's a famine. And Hashem asks Hashem, and David asks Hashem, what's going on? And Hashem says, "Vayomer Hashem el Shaul." Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, "El Shaul vel Beis Hadamim al Asher Hemis es Hagivonim." You know why this is happening? It's because Shaul and the Beis Hadamim, the house of blood, that killed the Givonim. So the king calls to the Givonim, and he invites them for a meeting, and he says, "What can I do to appease you?" And basically they say, "You gotta give us 7 of Shaul's children, and we'll kill them, and that will be a, you know, that will atone for this, for the murder of our of the other Givonim, the other." And that's what happens, and the famine comes to an end. They kill those 7 sons of Shaul, and the famine comes to an end. Now, what are we talking about Givonim? Who are these Givonim? What's their significance? Where are they from? When did Shaul kill Givonim? So we don't find anywhere that Shaul actually killed any Givonim. So what's going on here? So, let me just see over there again. So Rashi there tells us, over there in Shmuel Beis Perek Chaf Aleph, he says, what does it mean that Shaul killed the Givonim? When he says, Kishaharag Nov, Ira Kohanim, Rashi says, when he killed the city of Nov, Hamis Mayhem, Shiva, he killed 7 Givonim also. 2, and of different jobs, basically. But there were Givonim there, who, and the Givonim weren't really Jews. They were like maybe like half converts, but they were servants to the Kohanim. And he killed these Givonim. Now, So as a result of killing the Givonim, there's going to be famine, and 7 of Shaul's sons are going to have to be killed. Now, a couple of questions that are raised by Rav Sadia Gaon in a tshuva. He says, he actually has 9 different questions on different things here, but among them, he says, first of all, if Shaul is the one who sinned, then why are his sons being killed? Why are his sons atoning for Shaul's actions? Why do they have to be killed? What do they have to do with this? Right? There's, again, the story is that Shaul and Doeg and whoever killed these Kohanim and some Givonim, some servants there. And later, there's going to be a famine, and in order to atone for this act, you know, to appease the Givonim, 7 of Shaul's sons are going to have to die. And that's going to stop the famine. So why is that? He says, why? Why would the sons have to be punished for Shaul's actions? So Rav Sadia Gaon says here that it wasn't just Doeg who killed the Kohanim, it was Shaul and his sons also. He says it's explicit over there, because it says, over there in Shmuel Beis, it says, El Shaul ve'al Beis Hadamim asher hargu es hagivonim. Because of Shaul and the house of blood. So first of all, it says Shaul was involved. And it also says, Beis Hadamim, the house of blood. What's the house of blood? Who's that? It means his family that has blood on their hands. It means the family that was involved in the killing. So Rav Sadia Gaon says that it wasn't just Shaul who killed them. It wasn't just Doeg. They were and right. So this is what you were referring to before. We have this question that could Doeg have really killed everyone himself? So Rav Sadia Gaon saying no, he had help. He had help from Shaul. He had help from Shaul's sons. And that's how they managed to do it, and that's why they were punished, because they were involved in the killing. They weren't innocent.
However, it's not so simple. We already mentioned that very often there is...
He says it could be that it was more than seven sons that helped. Right? It could have been a lot of Saul's sons, even more. I don't know how many he had, but it could have been even more. It could be that at this point there were only seven left alive. And so it was the last seven, you know, later that had to be killed as to atone. But it could be that it was really even more than seven sons. That's what Rav Saadia Gaon says. Fine. One more thing that I should mention is it's curious that you know, later in that story when Shaul is being punished, well, or when David's being punished, when we see this famine as a result of this situation, it only mentions the Givonim. You know why there's a famine? Because of you killed the Givonim. What about the Kohanim? Weird. We don't really see anywhere. You know, the Gemara calls Doeg a murderer, but aside from that, you don't see in the Navi anywhere that there was anything wrong with killing the city of the Kohanim. The Navi never rebuked Shaul for this. Or there's no famine as well. We don't see anywhere that there was anything wrong with that. So the Radak raises this issue. And the Radak kind of we touched on this last week. You know, what did they deserve to have this happen to them? And the Radak says he raises this point, and he says v'nire ki chayavim hayu hakohanim. The Kohanim were chayav misa for something. They were chayav misa for something. They deserved to die for something. It doesn't reveal what their sin was. We know, he says, what the house of Eli did wrong earlier. We had the Kohanim from the house of Eli sinned, but we don't find anywhere explicitly, right, that we don't know, it doesn't say what they did wrong, but they must have been Chayav Misa. That's what the Radak says. And he says, even still, Shaul was punished for killing them, that he fell on his sword and his sons were killed. But he basically, the Radak saying they must have. You don't really find that this was, again, it's only the Givonim that we're worried about. We're not so worried about the Kohanim for some reason. So he says it must be that they were actually Chayav Misa, they must have done something wrong, although the Pasuk doesn't actually reveal to us what that was. Okay.
Barbanel said they were descendants of Eli.
Descendants of who?
Of Eli. So they have a curse on them that they can't live too long. Okay? Kobe?
So is the Yishama Alel Yad Yonech Shorvach more? They're all supposed to be the Givonim.
No, that's the Kohanim. That's all the Kohanim and their families and their animals.
And their,
I think,
families and animals.
The Givonim aren't mentioned here, and it's only mentioned later. But yeah,
the women and children are not called. Women are not Kohanim. They're just families.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to understand.
Yeah.
Why the Givonim? Because Givonim did something wrong too. I mean, but I guess it was a big, you know, the Givonim is a putasara. I don't know, but Givonim are not tzaddikim either.
Right. Right. Right.
It was a big kill. Hashem in the world that the Jews killed. Because later on, when they killed, they hung up the Goyim. I think there's a medrash that says that many, many, many people became Goyim when they saw what the Jews did. You know, after that, when they hung up the sons of Shaul, all over people said it was a big kiddush Hashem.
Uh-huh.
They did that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, let's just maybe try to finish up the chapter. So, Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. Vayimolet ben Echad l'Achimelech ben Achitov. One son of Achimelech escaped. Ushmo Evyasar. His name was Evyasar. Vayivrach acharei David, and he ran away after David. Vayaged Evyasar le David, and Evyasar told David, Ki harag Shaul es kohane Hashem, that Shaul had killed the kohanim of Hashem. Vayomer David le Evyasar, and David said to Evyasar, Yadati bayomahu, I knew on that day, ki sham doeg ha'adomi, I knew that Doeg was there. Ki haged yagid le Shaul, and I knew that he would tell Shaul what had happened. Anochi sabosi b'chonefesh based on b'icha. David takes responsibility. He says, I was the cause for your father's house to be destroyed. Shiva iti altira. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. Ki asher yivakesh es nafshi, yivakesh es nafshecha. Because just as he seeks my soul, he'll seek yours. Ki mishmeres ata imadi, and you are protected with me. So the Malbim here talks about these two lines. He says, David says, Asher yivakesh es nafshi, yivakesh es nafshecha. He says, really, who does Shaul want? Who does he really want? He really wants me, right? So he really wants me. And as a result of wanting me, he'll want you. That's Asher yivakesh es nafshi, yivakesh es nafshecha. He wants me, and he'll also want you as a result. But mishmeres ata imadi, you're protected with me, is that you're protected first than me, because you're a kohen. So you have an extra level of protection from Hashem, and that will flow upon me. But he's basically, so he's inviting Evyasar here for protection. He says, we're in this together, basically. He wants me, as a result he wants you, and your protection can also help me. Now David takes responsibility for this happening. He says, Anochi sabosi, I was the cause. I was misavev this. I caused this. And he takes responsibility, which is an amazing thing. And indeed, the Gemara in a couple of places kind of gives David, says that David was indeed responsible on some level for this.
Because over here, David stopped asking people for help because he was afraid the same thing would happen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, makes sense. There's anything else to add here? Oh, so he brings down an interesting discussion here. Whether you can learn a practical halacha out of this story with David. So it sounds like it's a big discussion in a number of different responsa. But he says the Marivayo, which is an early Achron, so late Rishon maybe. So he has a tshuva where he's talking about a story where a person sent a messenger, and the messenger got killed on the way. So the person wanted to know, should I be worried that I'm going to be punished for that? Am I responsible for that? So he said, and should I fast, as a result of this? Am I going to be responsible for this? And the Marivayo mentioned this story with David and the Gemara, which the Gemara basically says that David did get punished for this. And he told the guy, that you should be concerned that you could be punished for that, and you should make sure to try to make replications. You should do tshuva, you should give tzedakah, you should support the children, you should do whatever you can, because it's possible that you'll be responsible. And this was the first of the discussion, and there's later tshuvos that discuss this and argue and debate, and there's a big discussion revolving around this. Doesn't say, not here at least. Shuyach mitzvah, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, you have to look up the tshuva. All right, we're going to stop there.
Share next week?
Yes, we need to.